The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, the basics of life with James and Betty.
Because we don't hear, because we're dull of hearing, and by the way, when you recognize that I don't hear you, what do you do normally? Pull and tell. What do you do?
Get a little louder.
and then if you don't think I understand, what will you do?
Go ahead. A little louder.
Stay tuned for the basic steps that will help you hear the sound of truth next.
Well, Betty and I, along with our guests, are going to be communicating with you the truth about the basics of life and how we fulfill God's kingdom agenda. Keep this in mind. Many people have reduced the kingdom of God to a future reward rather than understanding it as a present reality requiring personal responsibility. Jesus, the center of His world, must become the center of our world. The source of life and strength and direction. The one who forgives us and enables us to forgive. The one who so loved us that He gave Himself in order that we might also love others. We want you to understand the basics of life. We're going to do our best to be communicating that to you, not only Betty and I, but all the guests that we have in. We're going to spend the next many weeks and months helping the true followers of Jesus understand Thy kingdom come, Thy will can be done on earth as it is in heaven through us. We join that message now as Betty and I share. But what the Lord showed me about the kingdom is that when something is made to operate in a particular way, it's got to function in that way. If you make, and you remember one of our grandsons was just crazy about trains?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he just wanted to see it. You can see a train, you want to almost pull the car over and watch it go by. You go to train track, you just want to stare at all of them. And he had all the little trains he played with. Do you know when you make an engine and you make a train, that train is made to run on tracks. It's the only way it can run effectively. When you put that train on those tracks, it pulls the load, it takes care of the responsibility, and it reaches its destination safely. You get that train that was made to run on tracks off track, and it brings destruction, devastation, and pain to everything it touches. Nothing but chaos. This is true of our lives. You get off track, and He's the standard we plow toward. While you and I were praying that particular morning, God called my attention to several passages in both the Old Testament and the book of Acts where Paul was communicating with the people and he was giving them a message because they asked him to describe the people of the way, which he was talking about Christians. He was talking about the kingdom. And I want you to listen to this because, boy, I'm telling you, God just shouted in my spirit a whole lot of understanding about my role and the role of ministers and what we're supposed to do. And sometimes, some of you may wonder, James, you know, Betty's so sweet and quiet. And by the way, somebody said, why don't you let Betty talk more? Because she comes in praying that I will not ask her to talk. And God answers your prayers. I need you to please tell the people, do you feel held back by me?
Absolutely not.
Do you feel invited and totally comfortable at any moment to share out of your heart?
I do. And you've made me feel that way because you've always encouraged me that God was as real to me and can be as He's been real to you and your relationship. And I have allowed God to build on that in my life and my relationship with Him. He's showing me on my journey how big He is. And He's unlimited in His resources and in His treasures. And if I will allow Him to teach me and show me. So I feel very free that if I want to interrupt you or to say, hey, honey, or pat you on the knee, a lot of times I'll do that and say, hey, I got something I want to share, that you allow me to do that. And God lets me share.
The last thing you said to me today was, whatever you do, don't turn to me and ask me to say anything unless you're really impressed to.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, be sure, but don't feel like you,
I
need to.
I reinforced that. I and sure so did.
I'm
reinforcing that.
I say to you that your interest level, your obvious prayerful encouragement and support to me speaks volumes to people. That you are a seeker and you listen, trying to hear the Lord, and maybe in some of the things that I share, but in anything our guests share. But as we were praying the other day, and God directed me to these passages in the Old Testament, the prophets, and over here in Acts, and where these people, this is the last chapter of Acts, and this is the Apostle Paul, and there's a picture of him. I really pray you'll see this. Really critically important that you see it. They ask him to talk to him about what they call the sect. This is the people of the way, and you know who the way is. Because it's known to us and it's spoken against everywhere. This is Acts 28:22. And they set a day for him, for Paul. And they came to his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them solemnly, testifying. I want you to notice how the gospel starts. Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said the gospel of the kingdom is when he preached to all nations. The whole Bible, the New Testament, is about people who are living in the kingdom, revealing the kingdom, and telling us that we need to allow his kingdom to come, be established in us and revealed on earth so people can see him on earth, come to know him, not religion, but relationship. And allow the power of that relationship with the living God to be released like a river that cannot be contained, a river that flows and produces life everywhere it goes. And so here he is now talking to them and explaining to them about the kingdom of God, trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. Now get this, because I'm telling you, it was like a knife in my heart as I read it, because I've been preaching now for 50 years this year that God called me to preach, and I preached my first crusade 49 years ago. And so I've been preaching a long time and being with so many church leaders and all over the world. And when I saw this, it was like a knife. They would not believe. Some were persuaded, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving. After Paul had spoken a parting word, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers. Now listen to what he's saying that Isaiah said, because this is exactly what Jesus said. And now in this parting word, in the closing chapter of this dynamic revelation of the power of God on the church, in the book of Acts, look what he said to them. Go to the people, this is Isaiah speaking, and say, you'll keep hearing, but you won't understand. And you will keep seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Now, this is literally the invitation to wholeness and healing, not only individually, but nationally. That if we would see and hear and understand, and Betty, as we read this, God took me back to the original time that this was shared by Isaiah. He took me all the way back to Isaiah 6. I want you to go there. I want you to look at this. Real important that you see it, because barring the opening of our ears and our eyes, the only way God's going to get our attention, and God was showing me that because we don't hear, because we're dull of hearing, and by the way, when you recognize that I don't hear you, what do you do normally? Go ahead and tell. What do you do?
Get a little louder.
and then if you don't think I understand, what will you do?
Get Go a ahead. Little louder.
Do you ever feel like you shout at me?
A few times.
Could I interpret it screaming at me sometimes?
Yeah, you could.
Do I ever tell you, why are you snapping at me?
You do.
And then she will answer, so you will hear me. You can't hear me. What's the problem? Dull of hearing. And let me tell you something, some of us, I don't hear the edges of words. I hear noise, but I don't understand. So I'm dull of hearing. We got a lot of noise. We got a lot of preaching. We got loud voice. You say, why do y'all raise your voice? Because God said, put a trumpet to our lips, blowing it. You say, well, why would you put a trumpet to your lips? To get your attention, to get you to listen, to get you to hear. Hear. That's what we're trying to get you to do. By the way, the still small voice can be as clear as the sound of many waters. God spoke to Elijah not through the whirlwind and the tornadic wind, but in a whisper. But oftentimes, the storms and devastation get your attention. Listen to the original. Because you see, what people like James and others and pastors and preachers who preach the truth, they're not the people you heap to yourselves having itching ears according to your desires, but they're people who will speak the truth in love and firmness and in harmony and consistent with the Word. They're trying to get your attention. Isaiah has just seen the Lord. The king has died, his heart is broken, and the Lord is lifted up. And he falls before God in repentance and says, woe is me. And God literally takes the seraphim takes the tongs and gets a coal and puts it on his lips. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God touches the place of his iniquity and he cleanses him. And then he says to him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's what you say, every one of you. And he said, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Now, what does he tell them? Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but don't understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. And then I said, Lord, how long do I keep telling them this when they can't hear and they can't see and they don't understand? How long do I keep telling them? And he said, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, until houses are without people and the land is desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Desolation, destruction, crisis, calamity. And he said, but there'll be a remnant. You say, James, are you saying to us that because leaders can't hear, because we're flying inverted and think we're upright and our decisions are leading from one catastrophic moment to another and we're eating the consequences of our inappropriate, ungodly, evil decisions? Yes. James, are you saying there's nothing that can be done about it? You just keep preaching and others will keep preaching and people just keep headed for destruction? Why would destruction come if God's a God of love? Because oftentimes it's only the sound of the storm and the explosion and the crisis and the cries for help that get our attention where we can finally hear the sound of truth. And out of the pain, we come to the end of ourselves and we finally once again discover life. But Betty, here to me at this moment, in my life journey, I really believe I've seen the Lord high and lifted up. And can I tell you again what perhaps you heard me share in the last 12 months or so? I feel like the Lord caught me up in a time of prayer with some church leaders, a very small group. We were actually up on a mountain, really seeking to be in the presence of the Lord. And Jesus caught me up in his arms, and I was seated just like I was in him, and him and me, on the side of the mountain overlooking Jerusalem. And he was crying out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often? Surely you've heard me share this. I've longed for you to come as the little chicks come to the covering, to the wings of the hen. Jesus already saw the coming possibilities and desolation and what would come, and yet, in the face of predicted prophesied desolation, what looks so obvious and unavoidable, Jesus is saying, come. Come to the shelter. Come to the covering. Come to the security. What I heard was, regardless of what you see here, He's extending to you the invitation to come to the shadow of the Almighty, to the shelter of the Lord, to the shepherd who will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, who will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, who will anoint our head with oil, who will provide for us green pastures in the face of every threatening storm and predictable storm. That invitation, yes, it's to everyone, but it's to you personally. Would you receive it? You say, Lord, you got my attention. I've heard truth spoken in love. I can see the consequences of a clenched fist in the face of a holy God. I can see the end result of men professing themselves to be wise while they deny God who created them. I see the consequences of people controlled by appetites rather than controlled by God. I want to give you me. I want King Jesus to become king in me, and I want to receive His life. Would you say that to Him? Right where you are, say, I give you me. You can use me. I give you me. Father, I pray for every person watching. You've touched their heart. You died for them. Give them the grace and desire to receive you right now into their life and to release your life toward others. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer. Would you dial that number? Just like you would tell me. Jesus said, confess me before men. I'll confess you before my Father. Don't be ashamed of me. Just call and say, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I don't understand all about it, but I gave my life to Jesus. I'd love to send you a book that I wrote called Knowing God as Father. I was a fatherless boy, the product of a forced relationship imposed on a 40-year-old practical nurse, a caregiver, conceived me. A miracle that I was allowed to be born. God became my Father. I received Him through Jesus. I'd like to help you understand what it is to know Him and give you a simple Bible study. You call and you ask. Say, I'd like to have that. I gave my life to Jesus. We'll give you basic steps in the Word of God, in the Scriptures that will help you learn and help you grow. Well, I believe you're getting insights, hopefully, that are so inspirational that the Spirit of God, inspire, in spirit, receiving His Spirit in fullness, the divine enabler, the anointing of God, His presence in us, His kingdom rule in us, making us overcomers. I have said this in my kingdom journey. Since He became the center, since I did lose my life to find it in His purpose, when I found that and I allowed Him to be the king, that didn't mean I wouldn't fail or fall or miss the mark. But I've got a king inside of me who won't stay down. He's going to stand up, and He wants me to stand up and look toward the standard. He's the standard. I keep plowing toward Him. And that is the straight and narrow. Just looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're seeking with all our heart to help you. If you want this message that Betty and I have shared together on the kingdom, you simply ask for it. We just ask you to help us share life. I want you to look right now into a very real situation where you can rescue. This is not like wishful thinking. This is not seeing a problem we wish we had the solution to. We do. But you're a part of the solution, a necessary part. I want you to watch closely.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the homesick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the, they need for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
So imagine this, one girl taken from her family, whether she's kidnapped or tricked, if she is sexually abused over and over again, maybe 8 to 10 customers that she may have to service in one day.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things in front of my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will be have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
Well, I thank God for his heart expressed through Carol Hart and her husband Michael and the other missionaries, the missionary you saw writing and telling what's happening. Those precious people are in place because God put it on their heart to reach out and put arms of love around those who were held captive in this horrible sex trade. And you've enabled them to be effective. You've enabled them to be able to rescue the children that they went over to find. Two of the children you saw there, the little boy and girl with Carol, those two children were orphaned and they now live in the House of Destiny, in the Life Center. And so, by the way, this is what Kingdom Life does. We are no longer orphaned. God adopts us as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. And we can give those children that relationship with a family that loves them. Let me just tell you pointedly, and by the way, you're the ones, you viewers, I don't care where you are in the world, whether it's Australia or the United Kingdom or Canada or the U.S., it doesn't matter. You told us that you wanted to rescue those children, and you let us know we're going to help you do it. It takes $128 to rescue one of the children. That's the cost for taking care of them, to get them either before they get them into the trade or get them out or find them when they're wandering the streets and literally adopt them into the arms of God. And the just think about it. It's $128 to rescue a child, $1,280. And I don't just throw that out at random. I think about 10 children, and some of you could do that. You could say, I'll take 10 children. There are some who have been blessed where you say, James, God's been so good to me. I could give several thousand dollars to help. Well, please do that, but please keep this in mind. For every one of those precious children, just like the two with Carol, someone said, I've got $128. Another, I've got $128. Whatever it takes, we're going to do it. Whatever you can give, we can put gifts together and rescue a child. But I'm asking you right now, and I can't help but believe you care. So see, the real care, the real love of God, the real center of our life, Jesus, that care inspires a desire to share, to release the love. Not just talk about it, not just defend the fact God loves us, demonstrate the love of God. Would you dial the number? Would you take your bank card, use it like a check, or you can go online, lifetoday.org. Many of you can do that. Make that gift God's put on your heart. If you can give the $128 or $1,280, please do that. Give the very best gift you can because we're going to give those children a chance. We're going to literally rescue lives together. And it takes all of us working together. If you should get a busy, be persistent. Dial until you get through just as though I'm the one getting the life preserver, getting the life to that child. I'm going to be determined to do it. As determined as you would want someone to be to rescue you or one of your loved ones. Would you do it right now? Make that call. If you make a check, make it to Life, put it in the mail. And please do that today. Thank you. We have some special gifts for you to bless you, to say thank you for sharing an opportunity with those precious little ones.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out. And we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I do want to mention that if you make any gift to help us and you'd like to have the teaching on the basics of life, fulfilling God's kingdom agenda that Betty and I've been sharing, we'll be glad to send it to you on CD. And of course, you can find those messages online. Tell your friends about it. I want to remind you of the Heart of the Father bronze. If there's any way that you could help us rescue 10 children or more, please make that special gift and we'll send you the beautiful bronze along with the butterfly effect, the significance of one person, the power of just love in motion. Incredible book. When you make your gift, thank you so much for doing it. Thanks for helping us share life today.
Next week, church leader Jim Hilton offers insight into kingdom living.
We have substituted this relationship with God and Him holding us.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.